Okay, and we're back. Jordan Maxwell and Jay Widener talking about things as we roll into the end of the year and out the other side. And if you like 2010, you're going to love 2011. What about the ever-growing gap between the factory-schooled, factory-government-schooled young people who are graduating elementary school, then middle school, then high school, into a world of dead and non-existent opportunities with a dead and non-existent intellect and little or no morality at all? That went out the window by eighth grade in most cases. The government schools have it knocked. Remember, who, I guess it was Lenin or Stalin? He said, don't worry about the adults, just give me the kids. And they've got two generations under their belts now. And you got parents who want to be their kids' best buddies and be cool, and kids who look to their parents for leadership, which we talked about a little bit in the last hour, and there's nobody home. So I'm not saying that there's no hope, but I guess I'm saying there's no hope or something like that.
I guess I would agree with you. But I could get, I'd like to get Jay started on a different subject.
Before you do that, I just got an email, Jordan about and Jay about Hollywood from a Hollywood insider. And he said, Jeff, yes, Hollywood is lathered with Satanists. It's like a cesspool, and Disney is one of the worst. Every animated movie they've had somehow has witchcraft as the solution to saving the day. Even Mulan, that had a little red dragon to save the heroine. Princess and the Frog had the heroine, the first black Disney princess, going to a voodoo priestess to save the day. The massive slasher movie genre and much more. It's sick. If your script doesn't cater to their whims, you won't get funding or distribution. It's the end of the story. So there's a little echo from Hollywood to sustain that. So go ahead, Jordan.
Well, that's true. That's true. And there's another subject that Jay and I have talked about that I think is very pertinent to what's going on and where we're going, and that is this whole concept of the dawn of the new age of Aquarius. This concept of the division between the two ages. And there's an excerpt I wanted to read from the book called Fire and Ice. And the author says there's a convergence between two competing and conflicting aeonic systems, the incoming age of Aquarius and the outgoing Piscean age. It will be up to the emerging Saturnian, Uranian spirit and its elect to bring a new order out of this world chaos. Then it goes on to say, in the Saturnian view, there does seem to be, for sure, a dark to the age of Aquarius. Based on some fairly objective interpreted astrological teaching, it can be concluded that the Aquarian age will only appear to be one of a rational humanitarian egalitarianism. However, the Saturnian-Uranian reality looming behind this world of appearances will be one of an enlightened system of control by a ruling elite, the final, ultimate reign of the Illuminati. I think that that is exactly what's going on. I don't think that this new age of Aquarius bodes anything good for the human race at all. Because look at the superstructure of what the age of Aquarius is going to have to work with. I mean, it's got a world that is filled with ignorance, darkness, evil. And what is going to be able to come out of that in the new age of Aquarius if it isn't perfecting what's already here? So I don't think this new age of Aquarius is going to be very happy at all. And I would also add to that an addendum. I don't think the new age of Aquarius is going to be here for at least another 450 years anyway. I think the age of Pisces probably began, in my estimation, about 325 A.D., which would put the age of Aquarius about 450 years into the future. And so I don't think it's going to be a very happy future in the in the whole of mankind's evolution. I don't think it's very happy with coming, because we've lost our humanity, we've lost our spirit, like the Bible says in the Old Testament, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think that's the biggest problem we have on the earth today, is that the human race has lost its vision. It has no morality, it has no ethics, no morals, no scruples. It's just lost itself. And so, my God, what does that mean for the new age of Aquarius that's coming? This writer says that it's actually going to be an enlightened system of control by the ruling elite, the final reign of the Illuminati. What do you think, Jay?
Well, that's one of my very favorite books. I've only read it about 100 times. And, of course, I have very deep feelings about the whole Saturnian societies out of Germany,
right,
and Skull and Bones and all of these groups which are dedicated to Saturn. It's interesting because in a way Saturn was the god before the Christian god, before Jehovah overtook, Jehovah being Jupiter, of course.
Yep.
And as you well know, there are very strange things lurking out in the rings of Saturn, which NASA has known about for at least 30 years, and or is it 40? 40 years, excuse me, I'm getting old now. 40 years now, and they've discovered even more incredible things with the Cassini probe. And my point of view on this whole thing is that Saturn is something far different than what we think it is. And it's also curious that, of course, the rockets which were supposedly used to go to the moon were the Saturn V. The scientists who developed the rockets were all part of these German Saturnian societies, as are the Rothschilds, by the way, and several of the ruling leading families. And when you begin looking at it, you realize that Saturn, of course, is just the word for Set, who is the Egyptian god who is really the devil, Satan. And Saturn and Satan and Set are all coming from the same words. And it gets even more curious when you look at J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. And the Lord of the Rings is Sauron, who is definitely Saturn. And you get into all this stuff and you begin realizing that there's this secondary cult, primary cult that runs the world is a Saturnian cult. I don't know what else to say except that appears to be what's going on here. And as Saturn sacrifices the child at the end of the year, Father Time, who is Saturn, Kronos, which is time, which is Saturn, sacrifices the child so that at the end of the year, this is probably what these rituals are all about, some kind of Saturnian sacrificial rule rituals which they're performing. And again, you know, this just gets weirder and weirder when you look at 2001 A Space Odyssey, the original planet they were going to was Saturn, but mysteriously Kubrick had to change it to Jupiter, and you've got to wonder why that was. Was it really just that he couldn't do the special effects, right? Or was there somebody up top saying, no, you're getting way too close to what's going on here? All sorts of strange things going on. The Catholic Church's preoccupation with Saturn is another curious thing that's going on here.
Yeah, what are they building big observatories for, anyhow? That's another one. What are they looking for?
That's a good question there. They're looking for...
it's not Planet X either.
No, it's not Planet X. I'm glad you said that because I get tired of answering that question. But what's going on is that in the Nag Hammadi text, they say that the Archons, who are the dark figures who come here to promote evil and violence and war, that they come from a place near Saturn. So is there an alien race here which came from Saturn or nearby the solar system, which seeks to pervert us? That's certainly what the Gnostic texts, which have not been perverted, the Nag Hammadi, of course, which have not been spun by anyone, not rewritten by anyone. That's what they say. And so I'm kind of going with that, and I have to say that I can remember several times when Jordan was addressing the whole Saturnian problems, and he came up against a lot of resistance. And I got a lot of my early stuff about Saturn from Jordan, and of course bought all the books that he recommended, and I'm just completely fascinated by the whole thing of everything that's going on out there, and a lot of it is really being hidden. NASA's hiding it.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot going on. They've made some seriously weird discoveries.
Well, that whole Saturn V rocket thing was an amazing pointer. Look here. Look where they destroyed it. The whole thing. Gone.
All of it. All the blueprints.
Everything. Why?
Yep.
Okay, what? Therein lies the answer. Oh, I've got a story at Rents.com about a structure on Mars. It's, unless the photograph has been completely created out of nothing or tweaked, it's a blatantly obvious picture of a structure on Mars. Back in a minute. Okay, I'm back with Jordan Maxwell and Jay Widener. Okay, onward. Through the fog, as they say.
In relation to Saturn, I was speaking at a conference up in the San Francisco area, and a guy came up to me and said he wanted to talk with me, and it was Norm Berglund. And Norm had
Is he still around doing
this?
Yeah,
he's up in Northern California, up in the Bay area.
Oh, yeah. Does he still have his assistant?
Yeah, I think so, because I saw him not too long ago, about 3 or 4 months ago at a
conference.
And he looked like he was doing very well.
Good.
And, but he, like me, did not hold out much for the future, being that the government we have now and where it's all going. But we talked about his book on Saturn, of which he gave me a copy and signed it to me. And some extraordinary stuff that he was telling me in private about his work, about what NASA has always known about Saturn. And that I don't know how much of this I should talk about in public, because it was a private conversation. But
well, you have to try and figure out how much Norm would want in public if all things were equal. I mean, considering that we're not in charge, and many people are going to hear it, and how valuable is it?
And you can't leave us hanging.
Nope. It's that too, showbiz.
I have often wondered if the rings, of course, from what he was saying, the rings are artificial. Somebody's making them.
That's what I mean.
But I've often wondered if the rings weren't some kind of a communication dish for deep space communication. Depending on wherever Saturn connected to in deep space.
Well, aren't these made of rocks and dust?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I was supposed
really
to, but the technology that is available even to us here on the Earth today can do marvelous, incredible things. And so, who knows what?
Well, here's one for you. Speaking of that, Jordan, just a quickie: the fluorescent lights now in offices can actually be programmed and used to send coded signals directly to computer terminals in the office below them.
Well, that's the kind of craziness I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, and this is what we find out about. So where are they really, Jay?
Saturn is a mind-boggler. And when you look at it and you start thinking about it, the hexagonal cloud pattern at the North Pole, was photographed in 76, and then they said, oh, that was just the lens causing it to square off, the hexagonal lens. And that sounded like a fairly good piece of BS back then. And so we waited for Cassini, and then 4 years ago, Cassini did a northern flyby, and wow, guess what? They're still there, you know, 40 years later. And so you, when you start thinking about that, and when you start looking at the moons of Saturn, and the odd things that NASA is hiding about Saturn, including gigantic apparent ships moving around in the rings, and actual ring construction, when you think that the rings on Saturn should have begun to mesh out, but if you look at them, it'll look like you're looking at a phonograph record with distinct grooves. Those grooves should have gone away a long time ago. Instead, they're there, and that defies physics also. And you start looking at the whole thing, and you begin to wonder, and I know that people are going to think this sounds really crazy, but is Saturn even really a planet? That's what I have come to the conclusion. I'm not sure anymore that Saturn is not some kind of machine that's dictating the nature of time in the solar system. And this is why the ancients, who must have known about the outer planets, discarded them and just said that Saturn was the last planet out, because Saturn is in these strange rotational periods with the Earth, and all sorts of odd, strange correlations going on between Saturn and the Earth and time and secret societies and just so many odd things that it's really, of all the things, including the weird things all over Mars, Saturn still rates in my book as the weirdest thing I've ever looked at in the whole my whole life.
Well, that brings to my mind the Death Star and Star Wars. I mean, here it is, a star, Death Star. In fact, no, it's a man-made, intelligently made hollow, planet-type thing, which is, it was designed that way. That's what
it's
I
huge.
Think,
that's huge. How many Earths can fit in Saturn? Do we know? What does anybody? Somebody on the internet.
Hundreds.
Well, hundreds. I know, but it's
a small star. But what I think Jordan is talking about is the moon Iapetus, which looks like the Death Star, and even has a hexagonal crater on it, which looks like the hole in the opening of the Death Star. And I contend to you, Jordan, that possibly people like Lucas and artists and such aren't so much just accidentally coming up with designs that match what we're finding out there, but there's some kind of collective unconscious which is letting this stuff ooze its way out no matter what they do. Maybe it's a conspiracy, but I'm tending to think more and more that there's some connection between human consciousness, time, and all this weirdness going on, and there's a part of the human soul which knows deep down the truth, and it gets out occasionally, but most of the time it lies there, you know, festering like a wound. But you start looking at some of these things and the myths around Saturn, there's definitely a human conscious mythological connection to all of this.
Okay, so gang, hold on a second. Yep. Just a second, we got to pause, come right back with more in just a couple minutes. Okay, and we're back. Jordan Maxwell and Jay Widener. Just kicking a lot of things around here in the last hour and a half. All right, Jordan, you remember your thought there?
No.
Okay, that's the sign of an incredibly brilliant mind.
He needs that stuff you're advertising.
Yeah.
Now he's got so much on his mind, I don't know how he can keep it all in. Most earplugs, I guess.
Well, you know, I had an experience. Let me run this experience by you that I think is pertinent to the subject. Many years ago, back in the early 90s, I was asked to speak at a conference in Pasadena, And when the guys that were putting it on asked me, this, what are you going to do? What do you need? A blackboard, a screen, or what? Huh. And I said, no, just give me a table so I can spread out all the papers on the table and on the stage. Just have a table and a chair because I want to sit there and talk to the audience like a teacher. And so the guy putting it on says, all right, well, what we'll do is we'll put somebody on a bar stool behind you with a video camera so that when you're talking about something, pick up the page and make sure that the camera can zoom in on you, and he'll be sitting right behind you with the video camera. And, of course, everybody in the audience could see what I'm talking about on the closed-circuit TV, and there's about 500 or 600 people in the audience. Well, that night after the conference was over, I went over to the house of the guy who was sitting on the stage with me, and we were talking about UFOs and aliens, that kind of thing. And his wife was in the kitchen fixing dinner, and he and I were sitting in the front room, and she came out and said to him, she said, have you told him yet? And he said, no, I wasn't going to tell him till after dinner. And I said, told me what? And he said, well, when I was 17 years old, I was thumbing my way north. I was in one of the states back east. And I was thumbing my way north, and an old man in a pickup truck picked me up. And he said, I'm 17 years old, going up north to see my cousin on summer break. And he said, this old man was telling me everything about my family and about me, that every single thing was actually accurate. He knew all about my mother, my dad's job, everything. And he told me when he let me out, he said, everything I've told you up to now was to entertain and get your attention. He said, now I'm going to tell you something important. After you're 50 years old, you're going to be on the other side of this country. And one day you're going to find yourself on a stage before a large audience of people, and there's going to be a man sitting at the table with a lot of papers on the table, and you're going to be sitting behind him with a camera, and that camera does not exist today, but it will then, and you'll be sitting behind him with a camera so that the people in the audience can see what he's talking about because you have this particular kind of camera. And so he says, and so today when I'm sitting on the stage with you behind you, it suddenly hit me that prophecy just came true. Because he said, therefore, what I'm saying is that I was told some 35 years ago that you were going to be sitting on the stage and I would be sitting behind you with a camera so that everyone in the audience could see. And he said, he told me this camera does not exist now, but it will then. Well, that scared me to start with. I mean, I got emotionally upset and left the house, because it frightened me that something like that would be happening, so that, you know, someone already knows what you're going to do 35 years from today. But it implies that someone is in control of the human race, period. And that technologies that we have today, it implies also that we are being given that on a controlled basis. Little by little by little, someone is feeding us high-tech knowledge, and then directing the flow of civilization and the human race. All of this is frightening to me because I think it's very true, and I have no idea where it's going.
Yeah, I agree completely. And you hit the nail on the head, because it goes back to Saturn. What they really are in control of is time. And they know your future, and apparently the past also, and apparently they can manipulate the future and the past. And this all goes back to Saturn being in control of time. And also, I think I talked to you many times before, Jordan, about the Kennedy assassination, how there's certain things in the Kennedy assassination that are almost improbable, because they would have had to happen 4 or 5 years before the assassination. So how could they have known, even before Kennedy was elected, to move a person to a certain place and to do a certain thing at a certain time, yet they did it? And when you start getting into this stuff, I tell you, the hair stands up on the back of your neck when you realize that there is some grotesque manipulation of time going on, and that is where we are all coming up short. because it's just something that is so far beyond the scope of our ability to understand how somebody can leap out of linear time, go somewhere else, and then come back. Yet that is apparently what's going on. And the people in charge are in charge of time. And that's what I believe anyway, deep down. That's what they're really manipulating and massaging is time.
I think you're exactly right. And it has to do, as you have said, it has to do with the planet Saturn, because he was Kronos was the god of time.
That's right.
That's where we get our word calendar from. Because he was the god of time, and something very, very powerful and frightening is going on with the planet Saturn, and the Nazis were in on it.
They were.
Even the Soviet communists were interested in the occult significance of the planet Saturn. Too much fire, too much smoke not to be a fire. There's something going on that scientists at the very top of the world know. There are people who know what's going on, but they're not telling us. And I think, incidentally, with that, this all explains the big push for the space shuttle program and the space station. Because many years ago, there was a movie in Hollywood called Silent Running, where it was talking about a space station which was designed for mankind to live in a space station. And so the story was basically they're getting ready to run, but they're keeping it silent running. Well, of course, we know about the biosphere was part of the space program, and that the space station is being built. So it looks like somebody knows something is coming on this Earth. They already know, and they've got to get out of here soon, quick. And
well, either
the space station.
Either get out or get under, because we had a story recently about how engineers and contractors have been building literally around the clock in many cases, underground, deep underground shelters.
Yeah, what do they know?
For the elite, that's right,
yeah.
Since 1985.
Absolutely.
And the time, not much
cover
time.
Cover all your bases.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yep. Yep.
Right. Also, Jay, what's your take on this 2012?
Yeah, hold on a second. That's a perfect way to finish off this conversation. We'll hit 2012 in just a couple of minutes with Jordan Maxwell and Jay Widener. Okay, let's get right back with Jordan and Jay. And, Jay, you're first. 2012, December 23rd. Was this our last? Well, we got one more.
Are
we getting
two
near
more.
Our one more? Yeah, we got a lot more than that.
Yeah,
we may not be around to celebrate them, but we got a lot more than that. Anyway, tell us what your take is on the 2012 hype, which, folks, is going to begin to hit stride here in the next 6 months anyway. It's starting to pick up already.
Yeah, well, I would advise you look in your email. Jeff, I just sent you a picture of a storm which just erupted on Saturn, astonishingly huge storm, which I have never seen anything like it. I would also point your audience to go to the GOES satellite and look at the storm that's coming out of the 19.5 region.
Yeah, they're not coming out of the Gulf of Alaska anymore, are they?
No, they're coming actually south of the United States, which is totally bizarre. All the world's weather is being driven by this point. I would also look at the Saturn picture I sent you and look at the latitude where it's at. And then look at the fact that the sun's electromagnetic field has been collapsing for the last 2 years, and look at the fact that the Earth's electromagnetic field has been collapsing. Go back to the electric universe theories of Thornhill and company and begin figuring out what it is that they're saying and what the evidence is showing, and you can see that by 2012 we're going to have a almost complete disappearance of the electromagnetic field of the sun and the earth. And that is, in a sense, an electromagnetic universe, a form of death, actually. When the human body loses its electromagnetic field, the human dies. And so we're going through a gigantic electromagnetic shift, which puts everything up for grabs, and all of this is easily explained by alchemy and by the electric universe and by the ancients, but it's very difficult for anyone to understand now. But the evidence and the preponderance of evidence points to huge magnetic storms and evolutionary leaps. Robert Felix's great book, Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. When the magnetic field of the Earth and the Sun and the solar system collapses, all sorts of gamma rays and mutating rays come through and change life here on Earth. And it's not driven by evolution, by the slow processes of adaptation and change. It's driven by gigantic, huge solar and magnetic activity, which comes and goes. And it's going.
That's an amazing picture of Saturn. We can't see the surface of Saturn.
No.
But we can sure see the cloud disruption there. That's pretty wild.
That is. And disturbing, actually. Yeah. Because we've been watching Saturn a long time, and we haven't seen anything like that. The fact that these disturbances are happening concurrently throughout the planet is disturbing. And
I'll
post it
everyone out there so you can see it.
Yeah, that's why I sent it to you. It's a great picture. Awe-inspiring. The storm itself is bigger than the Earth.
Yeah, so is the story about the structure on Mars. And if that hasn't been spun or tampered with, it's very interesting.
No, there is structures all over Mars. And there was a civilization on Mars, and they know it. And there's no doubt about it. It's ridiculous. I mean, what's going on with the Mars and what's happening there is ridiculous. They've taken pictures of forests, yet no scientist comes forth to say how amazing all of this is. They just ignore it like there's something wrong with the thinking processes of their brains. I don't know.
Well, it seems to be the same problem the whole world is having in relation to the situation that the Earth is moving into. So many people don't want to hear any of it. They don't want to hear anything. They just want to know that.
Oh no, they'll get
it.
You'll get in a fight. They don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, that the people would say to Isaiah, "Why don't you ever prophesy anything happy? Every time you come out with a prophecy, it's telling us we're going to die and we're on the outs with God. Why don't you prophesy something happy and something that people will like?" I get the same kind of stuff continually. Why don't you ever talk about the happy things? And I'm thinking, there's not that much to talk about in the happy area. I mean, because you better look at what's really going on here and where it's going to.
Yeah, if you can't confront reality, just go back to the TV and your beer. And
Go back and watch basketball and forget it.
Well, actually, I wish they would, but unfortunately, they get involved in things they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's
what irritates me, you know.
Yeah.
I wish the people that want to ascend off the earth, I wish they would just go. I mean, go. Leave us alone, you know. Mm-hmm. All you people you don't want to take responsibility for anything, you want to create all these stupid new age ideas about the world, well, just go. You know, leave. We're tired of you. And, you know, and the people that are denying the evil that's on this planet, I wish they would just shut up and go away, too.
Yeah.
So we can tackle these problems.
You know,
we can't even tackle them because they confuse us
correct. With
their stupidity.
There was one guy in England, a meteorologist in the Met office, and he predicted what was going to happen. This only one, and they laughed at him and mocked him. Did you see this little clip?
I did. That guy is my hero.
Oh, you sent it to me.
I did.
Yeah.
He is my hero.
He's wonderful.
I love it.
Here, let me play it for the people just for a minute here. Hold
on. You got to. It's too cool.
Yeah, I want to hear it. I haven't heard it.
Here we go. December to February, inclusive in Britain and Europe, will be exceptionally cold and snowy, like hell frozen over at times.
Okay. He got it. He's the only one. And they all laughed at him, but he simply looked at the facts and said, this is it. He didn't play games.
And even more important, he's the only one in the entire office that based his weather ideas on the sun, not on regular activity.
Right.
So he's watching, and he knows the same thing that I know, which is that solar activity drives the weather of the solar system, not the back exhaust of your car.
Well, I'll tell you something else, Jay. That's a whole subject for another two-hour show.
I agree.
On how the sun affects the human race and how it affects the Earth. That's an enormous subject about how it affects our cycles, our reproduction cycles, how it affects the brain and the personalities. It's an extraordinary story.
Well, the old civilizations knew. We've lost touch with that. We're now
that's right.
Basketball,
that's right.
Beer, baseball, football, and
but the sun actually scientifically affects the reproduction of humans, the personality traits in humans.
Yep.
Well, that leads into astrology.
Well, but there's science behind it.
Well, of course. And there's science behind good astrology.
There is.
Well, of course there is.
I would love to do that, Jordan, and all about the effects of rotational patterns, and I mean the whole esoteric science of this stuff is really the most fascinating stuff there is.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Northeast Pacific weather satellite now. And you're right, it's an enormous storm. It's being spewed literally out of the Hawaiian Islands area. Up,
yep.
And then it takes a right, well, it's a right sweep, and heads right into kind of where we are.
Well, it starts
Oregon,
there,
California.
Yeah, if you watch, it will drift south now, if
it
my
is.
Predictions are correct, until it starts hitting Southern California in about 8 days.
Yeah, or
which
no,
you guys
no, less.
Better get ready.
Less. You know, I'd say it'll be there by tomorrow, the leading edge of this thing, if the satellite picture I have. Right, I'll send you the link to this. It's a moving picture. You can hit play and watch it move. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it's a serious thing, and people aren't giving it enough credence because it's affecting weather all the way to China.
Well, it goes all the way across the country, and where do they think they get their weather? In the Midwest and the Rockies and the East and the, you know, all that. It comes from here. It comes from the ocean.
Well,
it's loaded with moisture, this storm.
I do think that it would be a great idea if Jay and I did another show where we could talk about some of the really dark esoteric stuff that we don't normally talk about in public. But I think it's about time that people start hearing some of the really strange and trippy stuff that's been going on in our solar system and even here on the Earth that we don't even know exists.
I agree.
There's a lot of strange stuff. I mean, I was given a book when I was 19 years old by a really strange man that gave me a book and told me to read it because it's going to begin your journey. And the book was called The Complete Works of Charles Fort. And believe me, it did change my life. And I, even at 19, I already had the presence of mind to know there's some really dark stuff going on the Earth that people are not being made aware of. And I think that would be a whole show.
I think Fort knew, but he didn't write much about it. He just kept quiet. Let's plan this out for January the 4th, Tuesday, tentatively.
If we, Tuesday. Yeah, I think that's
well, let me know.
With Jay, it's okay with me.
I'll just write
I'll
it
look
in.
Into my schedule. I can't say right now, but yeah, put me down.
Okay, we're there.
Yeah, we'll talk later.
We'll get it squared.
Jordan. All right,
thank you again.
The three J's.
That's true. Jordan, thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jay, Happy New Year and all that other stuff, although I don't see what's happy about it, but each in our own way can make a little happiness each day and maybe share it. And that's where we are right now. So hopefully we'll do it. All right. Thanks, my friend. And thanks to all of you for being here. And we will be back with you tomorrow night, 21 hours. See you then.